Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here with you. Some of you harken back to 2 weeks, and for me, for our family, it's been a bit longer than that since we were here with you all on a Sunday morning. But God is faithful. God has blessed our plans, and we are here. It was about a couple days ago. I wasn't sure if there was another storm coming, and I thought I never, ever remember missing three Sundays in a row because of weather. But God did see fit to allow that storm to shift off out into the ocean somewhere. So we are here this morning. Yes, and I do want to give just a little bit of time to talk about Bible school, do my part here with this. We enjoyed our time, my wife and I, and Kristen. I'll speak for her as well. She was down there as a staff school student teacher, and she enjoyed that. We had, it's always been for me, Bible school is a time of rejuvenation. I feel inspired and blessed to be there and serve in that way. Like Trevin said, it's something to do with the studious atmosphere, I believe, and the schedule and the letting aside of all the other things that normally take my time and consideration and focus on the Word and focus on relationships with youth and interesting faculty discussions and all those things. I was going to mention, well, first of all, we had beautiful weather. I'm not sure why that's on my mind. But a few days got close to, did not touch 80 degrees. And I was going to mention the revivals. Brother Henry Ramos, Brother Jay already mentioned that, and I would concur with him on that, those meetings were a real blessing, not only for youth, but for 56-year-olds as well. The theme of the term, I would say, was Fruits of the Spirit. And well, that was the theme of the chapel talks. Brother Linden had most of them, and he talked on the fruit of the Spirit. That stuck out to me because of my class. Because of the whole the concept of Bible school and what it's to do in the lives of our youth, there's many seeds that are planted. Every day, chapel talks, prayers before lunch, many class discussions, and many words of admonition, many words of direction, many good conversations, many good relationships. There's much sown, and what will be the fruit of that? And Brother Linden faithfully looked at each one of the fruits of the Spirit and drew parallels and how that can be nourished in our lives. I was there to teach two classes. The first class of the day was Foundations from Genesis, a study of the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And then right after lunch was Issues That Face the Mennonite Church. And I told the class, we're going to talk about issues. Do youth have issues? Why does the church have issues? And you can think about that from the negative sense. Not all issues are negative. Not all issues are bad. We learn from issues. We have issues, and we will have issues because we are in the flesh. And there will always be things that face the Mennonite church because the Mennonite church has enemies. Most of all, Satan himself is an enemy and will bring temptations, and we will face issues, and we need to clarify where we are. It was basically a history, a little bit of history, but then we made it very practical to what we face today. It was out of one of the, for a message this morning, I want to preach one of my classes. This was a class in the Foundations from Genesis. And the title of the message is Sowing and Reaping. And sowing and reaping is foundational to Genesis, and God instituted this principle in the beginning. Genesis 1:12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Sowing and reaping is a foundational aspect to the Christian life. It's a foundational aspect to your life. It's a foundational aspect to everyone's life. It's a foundational aspect to all parts of life. In the natural sense, we plant in the spring and harvest in the summer and fall. In daily life, it's borne out every day. We fill up our vehicle with fuel and expect it to go 300 miles or whatever. A sowing and a reaping. Newton's third law of motion says, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Something is done. There's a force applied and there's a response to that. It's a foundational concept of our lives. But it's one of those things I believe it's sort of like gravity. It's so real and it's so present, we don't even think about it much, and we don't always maybe enough of time stop and think about it. Gravity is something that we all realize. It's happening right now. It's keeping me firmly planted here behind this podium, thankfully. But and I think it's the same with sowing and reaping. There's aspects of this principle that we overlook and forget about. In our personal lives, attitudes have consequences. If I get out of bed on the wrong side, should I be surprised if others seem to be in the dumps? If I have a bad attitude about something, why is everyone else so negative? Well, what you sow, you reap. If everything seems to go wrong, it probably is because of my own attitude. That's attitudes. Words have consequences. Did you ever say something and wish you could immediately pull it back? But you can't. That word had its consequence. Maybe that happened today already to you. There's a saying that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, they cannot harm me. But that's not really true. Words do harm. Now, we can have that attitude that it's not, we choose to not let it harm me, and then there's a consequence of that choice too. Actions have consequences. Conscious action, even unconscious action. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Even thoughts have consequences. Thoughts precede actions. The longer a thought lingers in your mind, the more potential it gives to influence your direction of travel, the greater the chance of bearing fruit in some way. This thing of sowing and reaping is something that is so natural and common to man. But you know, the sad thing is that our culture says you can do what you want and not pay the consequences. You can have fun. You can get drunk. You can be promiscuous. You can have a bad thought life. You can have an affair and it'll be okay. Everybody does it. Sin has no side effects. This is the biggest lie of the devil. Because there is a law called sowing and reaping. It affects our spiritual life. The Bible has much to say about it. And for lack of time, I don't think I'm going to read these verses, but if you're taking notes, write down Galatians 6:8. Write down Romans 8:13. Job 4:8. And Hosea 8:7. These are all very, very practical verses that speak to this concept. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13. This is you've probably thought about this passage, and we'd like to spend a little bit of time looking at Matthew 13 to see principles of sowing or planting truth. Sowing or planting truth. Matthew 13 is the account of the parable of the sower. We like to read this. Matthew 13, start at verse 3. Let's see what Jesus says about this. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Yes. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care, receiveth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The first soil that we see here is the wayside ground. The wayside ground. Maybe first of all we should say, and I think we understand this, that the soil or the ground that's talked about here is our hearts. And the seed is the word of the kingdom. And the word, and this, these, for most of us, the word, these seeds have been sown into our lives from as long as we can remember. What fruit is it bearing? What, and as we look at the different ground conditions, we need to think about our hearts. We need to think about what is my heart? Is it like the wayside ground? Number one, the wayside ground heart. These hearts hear but do not understand. Maybe it's because they don't want to understand. They are willingly ignorant or oblivious to the words, to the seeds. They just don't care. It's not on their priority list. Something or someone else clearly has their attention. They're going in a different direction. Their worldview is somewhere over there. It's somewhere out there. It's not their thing. So the seed doesn't even sprout. It sits there, and Satan is successful in sending birds that eat it up, and it's gone. And so my question is for us this morning, is there a wayside ground inside a Mennonite church? Are there birds waiting this morning? Maybe those birds are sleepiness. Is there a bird waiting to snatch up what is spoken so that it does not penetrate into our heart and sprout? Next, we have the stony ground in verse 20. The stony ground hears the word and joyfully receives it. And it says, yes, this is what I need. But in an hour or two, it's forgotten. It's a shallow commitment. It endures for a little bit. It connects. It maybe sprouts a little bit. and tries to grow, but there's a lot of problems. It's easily offended. It's easily shaken because there's not much root there. And what are the stones? Well, it could be things from the past. It could be bitterness. It could be difficulty in forgiving and letting go and moving forward. A stony ground heart does not get so excited about spiritual things. Maybe they can do their part. They can say some spiritual things, but it's not real enough. When a conversation involves a work or hobbies, they're excited and inspired and can talk and talk and talk. But when it comes to spiritual things, they kind of forget what to say. They don't have much to say. They lose interest. The Christian life is hard. It's a battle for truth. And some days it's a battle just to keep your head up. But the battle's worth it. The peace and joy that comes from surrender to Christ makes us forget about the trials. So don't give up. Let the seed grow. It needs nurtured. It needs fed. We need to spend, I was going to say hours a day in the Word. I don't do that. Well, I did down at Bible school. And probably that's why I feel so rejuvenated. And I wonder, how can we do that? We're so busy. Maybe our busyness is stones that are keeping us from taking root and growing. Maybe we should be spending hours studying the Word. But don't give up. Don't allow bitterness. Don't allow things to get in the way, attitudes and things to get in the way and to choke out the, or to be stones that do not allow roots to grow. Are there some stones in your life this morning? Maybe you need to remove some that are in the way and keeping you from allowing the words of the doctrine, of the gospel, of Jesus' wisdom, the Holy Spirit conviction to go deep and to bring forth fruit. Next is we have the thorny ground. That's in verse 22. A thorny ground heart hears the word, it receives the word, and it bears some fruit, but then it stops. He becomes unfruitful. It means there was fruit. There was fruit that was growing, but it stops. And I think what's talked about here is distractions. It's a life of distractions. It's distractions that come in, and these distractions are like thorns and the weeds that grow in among the good sprouts and the good shoots that are growing. And finally, because the thorns are not dealt with, they're not removed, the good shoots are the ones that die. Distractions can be legitimate things like family, friends, and jobs. We talked about this is, in some ways, the thorny ground is closely connected with the stony ground. I'm not sure how to keep it all apart. But they can be illegitimate, sinful things as well, unholy things, ungodly things, and worldly and sensual things. A lot of these things are so close to us. So I asked the question, what thorns are growing in your life? What thorns have you, what weeds and thorns have you allowed to grow there and are not doing something about it? It's hindering your fruitfulness. It's hindering the seeds that are sown, the good seeds, the seeds that come through winter Bible school, the seeds that come through Bible school in Mississippi, the seeds that came through relationships with your parents and relationships with the people in the pews here. All those things, all those seeds that are grown are not, or that are sown, are not able to grow because of these thorns. So I'm asking, I'm pleading with you, I'm pleading with myself that we have the courage to get rid of these thorns, whatever they are this morning. What thorns may be growing in your life that need to be removed. Finally, we have the good ground. The good ground. We enjoy talking about the good ground. It's nasty to think about the stones, and it's nasty to think about the thorns and the hard ground that nothing can penetrate. Here we have the good ground, the soft ground, the worked ground, the ground that's open, the ground that a seed can go in and there's moisture there and there's sunshine there and it just grows. It just grows and it bears fruit. This is ground. This is a heart that hears the word. It receives the word. It understands the word. And its focus is to keep growing, and its determination is to push the stones out. Its determination is to pull the thorns out, to pull the weeds out, and get rid of those things, so that the spiritual life can grow and thrive. It's the work of Christ. It's just the work of Christ. It's not just our own manipulation of our heart and our own working with it, but it's allowing Christ to work. He gets the glory, not us. But it brings an increase. It brings a harvest. The fruit of the Spirit comes out of a life that is out of a heart that that has good ground. What we sow, we will reap by 30s and 60s and hundreds. Praise the Lord. God is using good seed and good ground to build his kingdom. And I see that this morning. I see your efforts and your faithfulness and wanting to do this and wanting to have good ground, hearts that are soft and pliable and there's nutrients there and effort is put forth to keep hindrances away. But the sad reality here is that the wayside soil, the stony soil, and the thorny soil also bears fruit. if these bad soil types are your life and your lifestyle, it will also bear fruit by 30s and 60s, 100s. The world will have a strong pull. Our view of ourselves will become larger. Pride takes root. And pride is a along with bitterness, they have a massive root system. And they're really hard to pull out. Maybe our businesses become larger with some slight dishonesty here and there, and it becomes a drag on our personal lives. These things can go, the wayside soil, the stony soil, and the thorny soil bears fruit tremendously if it's allowed to keep going. Church attendance and support goes down. Whose kingdom are we really building? Even though we continue to maybe try to call ourselves Christians, but whose kingdom are we really involved in? It's a sobering question. But you know, each one of us here this morning fits into one of these categories. Each one of our hearts is either good ground or stony ground or thorny ground or a hard-packed wayside. So we need to think about that this morning. Which one am I? Another thought on what is my point here? Principles of sowing or planting truth was the soil and ground of our hearts, number one. Number two is the condition of our hearts determines the growth of the seed, whether it will even take root, whether there will be a germination. And we already talked about this, is a hunger for the word of the kingdom, a hunger for the Sermon on the Mount, a hunger for the New Testament, a hunger for all of God's word, a hunger for truth for however it comes to us, to allow it to come and to appreciate it. If we would do a cross-section of our lives and think about what we are hungry for, would be helpful. Matthew 5, 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Dear young people, a heart filled with thoughts of romance before your dating will not allow the words of the kingdom to root. And even after your dating, these thoughts must be controlled. Just an example, a number, and also maybe more on this side of the house, a heart filled with thoughts of sports and sports heroes will not allow the words of the kingdom to take root. It's because these things are thorns and they start growing up and we let them grow and they will starve out. Whether it's a mind filled with romance or a mind filled with sports or a mind filled with you fill in whatever it is, whatever Satan's avenue through which he can get you to stumble and get distracted, whatever that is, will stifle the shoots of Christian life that are trying to bear fruit, will end up dying. So the condition of our hearts determines the growth of the seed. Number three, another principle, we bear responsibility for our sowing and reaping. We can't blame anybody else. We'd like to blame the distractions. We'd like to blame people, misunderstanding people and hurtful people and hardships and trials and our backgrounds. And yeah, I just wasn't brought up this way and my parents and on and on and on. But we bear the responsibility. Others have sown into our hearts, yes. But see, we bear the responsibility of the nurturing, of the tending of the soil of our hearts and the weeds that we pull and the stones that we push out. We bear the responsibility. God is bigger than all these troubles that we sometimes identify and feel and try to blame. God's bigger than all those. And God even allowed them because he knew that with his help, we could overcome them. So we can't blame them. Our choices become our responsibility. Every choice we make plants a seed that will become a plant that will bring fruit. Number four is there is a direct correlation between what is sowed and what is reaped. Now, we understand this in the practical world. We don't plant corn seeds and reap red delicious apples from a corn seed. We don't do that. But there's so many times in our lives where we think that we can get away with this. We can't sow good seed into stony hearts and reap spiritual blessings. We try to get away. I tried to anyway. I've tried that to allow some stones or some thorns, but yet I'm going to get some spiritual blessings. But it doesn't work that way. We can't give in to the flesh and reap a spiritual victory. We cannot live an unholy life and expect to see Jesus. It doesn't work that way. There is a direct correlation between what is sowed and what is reaped. I know we make so many efforts to try to get around this law, but it is unsuccessful every time because it is a law of God. It's like gravity. There's the only way you can get rid of gravity is to go up into space. That's pretty difficult for us to do. But even then, it's only limited. Sometimes we sow and hope not to have a harvest. Other times we hope to have a harvest without sowing. It's ridiculous, but that's what we try to do. But God has the answer for all this. One of the verses I gave out earlier is this one, Galatians 6, 7. At least maybe that's not in my notes. If it's not, no, it's not. Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what God said. God is not mocked. What we sow, we will reap. Number five, there is an interval between sowing and reaping. And we know this works. You know, farmers sow the seed, and what time do they plant corn? I'm not sure. March, April, maybe. And there's an interval there. You don't sow a seed and right away that there's all, you know, wait a week and there's a harvest. You might wait a week and you might see some little bits of green coming up, but the harvest is going to be months yet. And that's the way it is in life too. We don't always, sometimes there's more immediate reactions if we sow a seed. If we sow a seed of anger, the fruits of that come pretty quickly, but at least in how it relates to others, but what it does into our own soul is another kind of reaping, and that can be a bitter reaping as well. But thinking about it from the positive side, we continue to sow good seed even though it seems there's no return, and this is something we need to remind ourselves of sometimes. Some of you are involved in Bible study and teaching, and maybe it's school teaching, parents involved in training, and you plant a lot of seeds and sometimes you don't see any growth. It seems that way. but that doesn't matter. We keep on sowing. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Don't give up. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Thinking about it from the negative perspective, many have tried to cover up sin that was done months and years in the past. But that makes no difference for God, because there will be a reaping. It will bring forth. What we sow will bring forth. It's a foundational principle. It's the way it is. It's the way it works. It's the way God works. It's the way he ordained it to be. Many times we reap, this is number six, many times we reap more than we sow. You can do a small deed to encourage someone, to help someone, a cup of cold water, and the implications of that might be tremendous, something we never know in this life. You may have helped someone to stay out of hell. If you think about it that way, it a means of encouragement that was helped someone to choose right instead of wrong. Or you could take one drink of a strong drink, of a alcoholic drink, and be a drunkard, end up a drunkard. We reap more than what we sow. You sow one kernel of corn, and you get how many? I'm not sure what the number is, but you get a lot. So we reap more than what we sow. But yet, sowing and reaping, number seven, is also proportional. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." So the more you put into sowing good seeds for the kingdom, the more a reaping will come. Maybe you won't always see it, but it will. And of course, the reverse is true. If you sow a lot of seeds of bitterness, anger, rebellion, lust, and all those things, you're going to proportionally reap that as well. But God is faithful, and Jesus Christ forgives. And that's another aspect to this whole thing of sowing and reaping. Where would we be without the grace of God? Where would we be without his forgiveness? And we sow seeds. We've all sowed seeds sometimes that we are very embarrassed to admit to. We made some choices that were wrong in weak moments. We have to let the reaping up to God. Whatever he determines. Sometimes he may see his mercy and his grace. He may release us from some of the things that could come upon us. Other times he allows the reaping to come in ways that really hurt. That's up to him. But there will be what we do, what we sow, we will reap. Finally, sowing and reaping. doctrine is a bridge from this life to the next. Eternity will reveal the ultimate reaping from this life. We were talking most of the morning about during the message about in this life. But you know, sowing and reaping has implications into the next life. Revelation 20, verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works." The deeds in this life, the seeds that we sow, have eternal consequences. To the young people, life is so short. It does not seem long ago that I was a Bible school student. Be faithful in growing the seeds that were planted at Bible school. Be faithful in growing them and nurturing them. They will have an impact on your life, just like the friends that you made at Bible school will remain friends for the rest of your life, to a greater or lesser degree. Some you might forget, but they do. And those older ones here that have been at Bible school maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago know what I'm talking about. What you do now as youth does make a difference. Very soon, you too, Lord willing, will be 56 years old. And you'll look back on your life and the seeds that you've sown and the mistakes you've made. And you say, here I am by the grace of God. But choose wisely. Plant good seeds. Allow good seeds to grow in your life. If we do that, if we allow God to direct our lives and faithfully follow him through the years of time, he will give you an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Let's kneel for prayer.